What's up, y'all? This is the LAW, aka the most talented kid in the music biz. Planet 12 is upon y'all. Straight from Brooklyn, Crown Heights, St. Mark's Avenue / Albany Projects. I'm known for my work with Amy Winehouse, George Clinton, Parliament Funkadelic, Lionel Richie, and so many other entertainers in the world of music business. So to put it all plain and simple, I'm known for my many talents as a singer, rapper, producer, songwriter, choreographer, and multi-instrumentalist, and of course, probably the most world-renowned music historian. So a lot of people always ask me advice about the industry, certain history equips in terms of the music business and things that have happened. And this has pretty much been the bulk of my career for the last 15 to 20 something years in terms of that. And I'm a proud independent artist that has been able to succeed in this business without having to be on a major record label or to cater. And it's crazy because I always call myself an independent artist with major label following, with major label prospects, or whatever, however way you want to put it. But yeah, so this is the first segment of what we like to call Laying Down the Law, where I'm going to talk to everybody about musical facts, different opinions I have about the industry, certain things, and putting certain musical terms in prospects. So today's segment is going to be very fun because we're going to talk about what I feel to be the top five greatest funk songs of all time. Now, of course, as most of my fans know, I'm known for my multi-genre outlook when it comes to music because I do all styles of music ranging from hip-hop to funk rock, R&B, jazz, country, pop, heavy metal. I've done all of these styles at one point or another, and you hear it on my first album, which is the Planet 12 Syndrome, and of course on my second live album, which is the Planet 12 Live Sessions. So, you know, out of all the musical genres in the world, without question, I think that I'm mostly primarily known for my funk, R&B, rock, and hip-hop pursuit simply because of who I've been affiliated with and who I've worked with, but also going back again to my first album, The Planet 12 Syndrome, where you heard all these styles interplay on my album. So I would definitely have to say out of all the musical styles there is, funk and hip-hop probably serves the biggest purpose for me, and funk spoke to me the loudest simply because of the fact that as an 80s baby, you know, hip-hop came into my life, but before hip-hop came into my life, I was raised in funk, R&B, and gospel, of course, because of, you know, my legendary family members from my uncle Tony T. Funk Austin, who played drums for James Brown and Kool & the Gang, and, of course, my legendary grandfather, Sam Bluesman Taylor, who was not only known for his early rock and roll work with Joey D and the Starlighters and Etta James, but majorly known for his work with the 70s funk group BT Express, who was known for their biggest records, Do It To You Satisfied and Peace Pipe, which my grandfather wrote for the band, as well as a lot of other songs that he wrote on their first four albums, in addition to being an unofficial rhythm guitar player. So funk is definitely my calling card without question, because without the funk, there would be no hip-hop. And I think anybody that knows anything about hip-hop rap music, the foundations of that was built on the breakbeat. And where did most of those breakbeats come from that DJs used to use to give the MC something to rhyme over or just to get the crowd going? It's from funk records. So this list right here definitely serves a purpose. And I'm going to give a meaning to each one and keep it in the line of what everybody can understand where I'm coming from in terms of speaking of these songs. So we're going to start from the bottom up. Number five would be Kool & the Gang's Jungle Boogie. It was just an exciting record at the time. You know, Kool & the Gang was fresh off the first three or four albums of their career, and then they finally exploded with the Wild and Peaceful album, which, you know, that also has funky stuff on it as well, and Hollywood Swinging. But Jungle Boogie just served such a tribal influence, man. It was just heavy, you know. It's one of those heavy things, you know, from the time you hear that gong thing that George Brown does on the drums, and then it just comes in with the get down, get down, get down, dip, dun, 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 dun. It brought cool out front on bass, and it just was very heavy. The horn parts, it solidified funk in every aspect that I can possibly think of. If you think about even when it goes to the breakdown where, you know, the late Ricky West just hitting that, you know, just that whole, it just was rugged funk. And then it was, it stayed in the theme, because even at the very end, when I think that's Khalees going, ah, it's like a Tarzan thing, and then the beat just ends. It's definitely one of the most important funk records of all time, without question. And it's crazy because Kool and the Gang definitely had serious funk records before that one. But Jungle Boogie, in my opinion, proved to be the heaviest that they did in that era, right before they did the R&B pop funk crossover thing in the 80s. I would definitely say that was Wild and Peaceful album was a defining moment, without question. So that's number five. Number four, Graham Central Station, The Jam. And for obvious reasons, I mean, we're talking about bass god Larry Graham. We're talking about the man who invented slap bass, thump and pluck technique on bass. He was already doing this when he was doing it with Sly and the Family Stone, but then when he left to form his own unit, the bass was even more out in front. Because on Sly and the Family Stone records, the bass was the bass was always standing out. I mean, you couldn't help but not notice, you know, Larry's incredible vocal skill and just the fact that he was playing these ridiculous lines. Even when they were doing like Motown poppy stuff, but it had that funk appeal to it. By the time he left Sly and the Family Stone and formed Graham Central Station, it just took on a whole nother level. And the Graham Central Station had a very unique sound that was rooted in gospel, R&B, a little bit of pop, but surrounded by what I like to call a deadly funk barrage. I mean, between Butch's organ playing and Herschel Happiness's clavinet, and just Larry Graham out in front and David Dynamite on guitar, and of course Patrice Chocolate Banks on the funk box and the vocals. And what The Jam did is it gave everybody a chance in the band to shine. And keep in mind, this was the third album, so it just kind of introduced everybody. And you know, Larry Graham had a bass technique that had all the young bass players going crazy during that period. I mean, it already had started with Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself Again, but he just took it on a whole nother level with the Graham Central Station project, with the first two albums, which were incredible. But on this particular album with It's All Right and The Jam especially, you know, it definitely has become one of the most groundbreaking bass-driven funk songs of all time. So it definitely deserves a top five spot. So I put that at number four. Number three, speaking of Larry Graham, I would definitely have to say that Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself Again by Sly and the Family Stone will land at number three, simply because of the fact that this is when Larry Graham introduced that new bass style. Now, keep in mind, there were three to four Sly and the Family Stone albums before Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself Again, which actually appeared on the Greatest Hits album. It was a new song. It wasn't even part of the previous albums. And the funny thing was that I kind of look at that as a weird thing, because it had been so early in the game. You know, Sly and the Family Stone had only had like four or five albums, and they already had a Greatest Hits album in 1970, which was crazy. But nevertheless, you know, Sly being the genius that he was, he included two new songs on there that nobody had ever heard. One of them, of course, is The Fabulous Everybody is a Star, one of my favorite Sly songs. And of course, Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself Again, where you hear these crazy guitar chant chords by Freddie Stone with Sly on the wah-wah guitar. But even with all that going on, especially one of my favorite drummers, Greg Errico, a.k.a. Hands Feet, providing that strong, solid, syncopated backbeat, which was just ridiculous. But as everybody knows, the standout on this particular record is the one and only Larry Graham, because he brought that thump and pluck technique to the forefront on this record. Once again, that had all the bass players going crazy, like, oh, shoot. Now, keep in mind, he had been doing that bass style prior to him joining Sly and the Family Stone. That's actually how he got discovered, because as most of y'all know the story, Larry Graham used to play in a trio with his mother, who played organ. And when the organ broke down, because Larry was originally a guitar player. A lot of people don't know that. Larry was originally a guitar player. So it was guitar, his mother on organ, which doubled up on her left hand playing bass, and a drummer. And one day, I think the pedal had broke on the organ, so she couldn't really get the bass tone. So Larry rented a bass to play the bass notes to fill in everything, so to keep the thing going. But then what happened was is that the drummer quit the band. So Larry said to make up for not having a drummer, he began plucking and thumping the strings to give it the bottom end and to give it the top end, like the percussive effect. Genius, isn't it? I know as y'all sitting here, listening to me talk about it, y'all probably saying, man, it's crazy how things work. And so it's safe to say that Larry Graham became the number two bass guy by accident. James Jamerson being number one only because of the influence of Motown and James Jamerson had on everybody. But Larry Graham is definitely the number two bass guy in the building as far as I'm concerned. He's my number one favorite, but he's definitely in terms of the influence in terms of bass playing, definitely starts with James Jamerson, and after James Jamerson, Larry Graham, simply because of the funk technique that had everybody copying. And I mean every bass player copied Larry Graham's style. But Thank You For Letting Me Be Myself Again was the song that debuted Larry Graham's incredible bass style. And that brings us to number two. Without question, Parliament Funkadelic, Tear the Roof Off the Sucker, Give Up the Funk. I often, you know, and I don't want to sound biased because everybody knows my history with me being a P-Funk camp member, but the more I dug deeper into the catalog before I joined the band, which was, you know, I was around 11 to 12 years old, and pretty much all of my uncle's friends and all of his musician friends that he played in clubs with, that was the main common thread among everybody, because everybody had a favorite band. You know, you had some people like the Commodores, people like the Osley Brothers, people like the Ohio Players, people like the Gap Band, people like Earth, Wind & Fire. But the universal thread among funk bands was without question Parliament Funkadelic. Every musician that played funk, no matter what town you were from or where you lived, the common ground was you included Parliament Funkadelic songs in your repertoire. And out of all the classic stuff that George and the rest of the guys did, Give Up the Funk, Tear the Roof Off the Sucker, a.k.a. We Want the Funk, that became a call to arms record. You know, very similar to what the Ramones did with Hey Ho, Let's Go, which is Blitzkrieg Bop for all y'all punk rock fans that know about the Ramones. You know, that Hey Ho, Let's Go. Like, it was like a chant. It was like a call. And that was the same thing when it came to We Want the Funk, because George just felt the need to express that part of, you know, we want the funk, give up the funk, we need the funk, gotta have that funk. Like, it was, he was really speaking for the young teenage kids that crave funk music. So that chorus is undeniable, and it remains that to this day. And even before the refrain comes in, you know, just listen to what's being said. You got a real type of thing going down, getting down. There's a whole lot of rhythm going around. We're going to turn this mother out. It's definitely the most important P-Funk record, but overall, it's the number two greatest funk song of all time, just for that reason. Because as I always say, when it comes to the funk analogy, there are three entities that created this genre of funk. James Brown created the funk, Sly Stone diversified the funk, but it was Parliament Funkadelic along with George Clinton that made funk a religious experience, and funk became a whole entity because of Parliament Funkadelic. And even though they had about 9 or 8 albums before the Mothership Connection album came out, it was Give Up the Funk, Tear the Roof Off the Sucker that set the standard and that pretty much planted them forever in history. So even if they would have never did stuff like Dr. Funkenstein or Flashlight, it still would reign sovereign to this day. So number two is Give Up the Funk, Tear the Roof Off by Parliament Funkadelic. And before I get to the number one record, I'm going to make a couple of honorable mentions, because I really, really feel it's important to make an honorable mention of two songs that actually have standing. Of course, one of them being Parliament's Flashlight, because it's one of those songs that when you put on at a party in 2019, everybody in the building dances. It's basically it became a universal funk song in all its splendor. So that's an honorable mention. And the last honorable mention I'm going to say, without question, is James Brown, Cold Sweat, which in my opinion and many other people's opinion, it is the first official funk song. It's the first song of its kind where the bass line was different. And, you know, James already had kind of set the standard with Papa's Got a Brand New Bag, because when he made that record, he was talking about funk music, because he said that he knew that he was creating a style that Motown nor Stax had. Nobody had the sound that James Brown had. And in pure competence, he knew that he was creating something different. As a matter of fact, my incredible big bro, Carlton J. Smith, he played something for me when I hung out at his house one day because he worked with James Brown and worked with various members in his camp. And he actually played something for me of an old interview that James Brown did where he said he's fighting the future, where he's literally telling the interviewer that he knew exactly what he was doing. So Papa Got a Brand New Bag / Cold Sweat, those are the first two funk records where James Brown totally flipped the concept and decided instead of doing the 2 and 4 like everybody else, I'm going to create the 1 and 3. And ladies and gentlemen, that 1 and 3 is what we know as the funk. So that's honorable mention. It does not have to be in a number or category because that's pinnacle. It has to start somewhere. And now that brings us to the number one greatest funk song of all time, without question. This is a song that never loses. This is a song that created a whole lot of bands. This is a song that had so many imitators and copycats to this ridiculous. And when I say copycats, I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that just in the sense of when you hear this song, you can't help. I dare anybody to sit still. I really just don't understand how anybody could sit still when the band hits those first hits. So y'all probably wondering, get on with it. What is it? Sex Machine, James Brown. Bootsy Collins on bass at 16. Catfish Collins, older brother. You know, oh my God, man. I get emotional when I talk about James. But yeah, Sex Machine is the greatest funk song of all time. It is the number one funk song that can never lose. There have been many funk songs that you can play in certain places and they won't get the same reaction. But best believe, in my years in this business, I've seen it every time. Not only because I performed it, and my version is pretty known too, because I got it from my uncle Tony and how he did things. Because of course, you know, my uncle Tony playing with James Brown and working with Bobby Bird, I learned that stuff early. So for the last 20, 30 something years of my life, even as a kid and even up now into an adult, Sex Machine never loses. As soon as you hear James talking and he says, can I count it off? 1, 2, 3, 4. Get up. It just had that sting. It just got you. It's syncopated. And then even when they go to the bridge, it's just, you know. And of course, as I mentioned before, James Brown had many important funk R&B records that came before Sex Machine. Because Sex Machine, I believe, was 69, 1970. And even, of course, at the Sex Machine, he created even more deadly funk records. But Sex Machine is the prototype. It is the standard. It has become a standard. In my personal opinion, you cannot call yourself a funk R&B connoisseur or funk R&B musician and you don't know how to play Sex Machine. And that goes on any instrument, drums, guitar, bass, and of course, horns. And even piano, because you notice on that record, it has a piano break. And I think that was James adding his jazz blues influence in that little piece of funk that he was creating that, you know, I mean, I don't know if he even knew that how much it was going to change the world, but knowing James, he probably did. And so right he was. I can't even explain it to you. So that is the number one greatest funk song of all time. Sex Machine, without question. I'd like to thank y'all for joining me on this segment of Laying Down the Law. You know, you can trust I'm going to always be real. I thank everybody for listening. I thank everybody for supporting the Planet 12 movement. Because as I always say, at the end of the day, it's all about the music. Because if my music wasn't good, if my resume wasn't real, and if my stage show wasn't the bomb, y'all wouldn't care about what I have to say. So shout out to Real Music Radio. Shout out to my boy Chris for letting me do this. We'll be back next week with another great segment. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but you're going to definitely be excited. So thank y'all guys so much. Planet 12 is upon y'all. Peace.